County Prevention Coalition podcast, dedicated to bringing educational information to prevent substance abuse and help individuals achieve a healthy well-being.
Hello, my name is Tina Bradley, and you're listening to the Wood County Prevention Coalition podcast. I am the coordinator for the Drug-Free Communities Grant, as well as the coordinator of the Prevention Coalition in Wood County, Ohio. Today, we're going to be talking with Amy Coe of the Wood County Alcohol, Drug Addiction, and Mental Health Services Board. We call that the Adamus Board here. And Amy is also our coalition secretary and one of the Addiction Task Force chairpersons in Wood County. And she's here today to discuss fentanyl test strips. But before we get to that, I'm going to read our mission for those who don't know it yet. We are a coalition of compassionate community members working together to coordinate high quality programs for the prevention of youth substance abuse in Wood County. Our vision is helping youth be drug-free, responsible, and productive citizens. And our tagline is Uniting for a Drug-Free Wood County since 2004. Before we get into the body of our podcast today, let's do a round robin here in the room so listeners know who all is involved aside from myself.
Hi, Tina. I'm Kyle Clark, Prevention Education Director here at the Wood County Educational Service Center, and I'm also co-chair of the Addiction Task Force, so it's a busy schedule.
Hi, Tina. Thank you so much for having me in today. My name is Amy Coe. I am the Director of Community Programs for the Wood County Alcohol, Drug Addiction, and Mental Health Services Board, and also one of the co-chairs for the Addiction Task Force, like Kyle mentioned.
And I'm Greg Van Voris, longtime podcaster, and I'm just sitting in the background today, lurking and tweaking knobs and buttons and making sure we only have to record this once.
Thank you, everybody. Let's start out here with a discussion around the work of Wood County's Addiction Task Force. And Kyle, you're the most tenured board member. We have two co-chairs here, Kyle and Amy. But Kyle, you want to talk about the collaboration between the coalition?
Well, now you're just dating me. You're dating me now. Certainly. Be glad to. I believe it was around 2016, the Wood County Alcohol, Drug Addiction, Mental Health Services Board, in an effort to make Wood County residents aware and educate them on opiate addiction. We were starting to see a rise in our county, numbers of cases, and they actually reached out to several agencies and asked us to come together as a coalition, and we did, and so I believe it was in 16, and we started with monthly meetings and talked about what we could do, how we could get the word out to people. In those early years, it was definitely an awareness-raising time period, so we were educating the public on opiate addiction. The main drug at that point was heroin that was causing the problem. And of course, we were trying to educate folks on the fact that so many medications, painkiller medications, narcotic painkiller medications, were being used by doctor's offices, dentists, and others, that this was really one of the major root causes for addiction, was through prescriptions. And once the prescriptions ended for patients, they started doctor shopping and doing a lot of other things in order to get more narcotic painkiller. And as we raised awareness in the county and in the state and in the nation, there were laws passed and there were stricter rules on pain medications that were being prescribed. And folks started turning then to the next option for them to treat their need of this disease, and that was through heroin. And so we were doing a lot of awareness talks and had a lot of guest speakers come in. We had a lot of testimonials from folks that were addicts, recovering addicts, and the coalition really took hold of that and we grew. And within a couple of years, we kind of decided, it's not just heroin, it's not just opiate. We need to open this up to all addictions, because as the brain science, Amy, and you can also chime in, that's about the time we started talking about changing our name to Addiction Task Force.
Yep. So we didn't just focus on opiates any longer. And the history of drug addiction and substance abuse throughout the world, we know we see this in cycles. So, you know, one particular drug might be the kind of topic and really what's going on in the country. And then we see changes. And so in past, it's been cocaine, it's been meth, it's been, I mean, we see a variety of things. And we don't want to just focus on one drug. We want to make sure that we're talking about addiction as a whole, because it's really, like Kyle mentioned, it is a disease, and we can't just talk about one drug to really encompass all of that. So
that's a great history for those who don't know the collaboration here between and the establishment of the Addiction Task Force. But Amy, we're going to shift and kind of move into the fentanyl matter that's on the forefront right now. For those who may not know anything about fentanyl, can you talk a little bit about that and the dangers of it?
Yeah, so fentanyl it's a synthetic opiate. So on average, it's about 80 to 100 times more potent than morphine. So a very small amount can cause an accidental overdose. And what illicit drug user or drug makers are doing is they're putting fentanyl in different drugs, not just opiates. It can be in cocaine and meth as well, but they are putting that fentanyl in their drug to make it more potent. And as a result, more people are overdosing because the fentanyl is being put into their drug. So, you know, we know that accidental overdose is the number one killer of individuals under the age of 50 in the United States. Fentanyl is one of the main culprits for the reason that we have that statistic in the United States. So there's been studies out there that over 42% of pills tested for fentanyl actually contained at least 2 milligrams of fentanyl, which is what's considered a potentially lethal dose. So over almost half of all drugs that are bought illegally contain a lethal dose of fentanyl. So we're pretty serious about making sure that people are aware of the dangers of fentanyl. And obviously, these are not, you know, monitored drugs. These are drugs people buy off the street. As Kyle mentioned, unfortunately, as a drug addiction continues on, people tend to not get prescribed that medication anymore, so they're looking at other sources to purchase their medication or their drug.
So for those who attended our last Combined Prevention Coalition and Addiction Task Force meeting back in December of 2021, they already know, but for listeners who weren't able to join us, Amy, can you share what the Addiction Task Force is doing to prevent the harms that are raised by fentanyl?
Yeah, so one of the things that we have done in the past is made available Narcan, which is a nasal spray that can be used immediately after someone has a potentially fatal overdose, which will reverse the effects. And so that's been pretty widely available in Wood County now for some time. So we are looking at other harm reduction strategies. And the next one that we are utilizing here is the fentanyl test strips. And essentially what those do is detect fentanyl in a drug before someone uses.
Great, great. So somebody can test and see if there is fentanyl in their drugs.
Correct. Yeah. So before someone would actually ingest their drug, they can use this 20-second test to determine if there is fentanyl present. Now, the test will not give you the amount. It's literally just telling you if there's fentanyl or if there's not fentanyl. But it gives people options. And that's why we call it a harm reduction strategy. It gives people an awareness that there is fentanyl, and they may need to take other precautions. Those precautions can be A, not using, B, using less of the substance, C, using with a buddy and making sure that Narcan is available, or something else that they decide is a way to keep themselves safe.
You raised a great point, harm reduction. Up until we started using Narcan, and we were strictly working with education and trying to make everyone aware. Once we started the discussion of Narcan, and now we're talking the test strip, for fentanyl, we're starting to talk about a new term, and that's harm reduction, which you mentioned, and you explained a little bit about that. But for our listeners who may not be as familiar as you and I are with harm reduction, I'm just going to play devil's advocate and say this seems like we're helping people who are addicted to continue to use drugs. Why would we want to do these things? You alluded to it because it's safer, but let's talk about that again. Let's reinforce maybe that discussion, because I think in some cases our listeners may be saying, we shouldn't be helping people like this.
Right. So obviously prevention is key. You know, we know that we have to have prevention because the less people that we have addicted, the better off we are. However, individuals that are addicted, we have to keep them alive long enough in order to get the services and the treatment that they need. And this is a way to do that.
And we kind of know from our history of working with us in the county and the education we have, sometimes it takes anywhere from 3 to 8 times of an overdose person for a victim to overdose before it really connects with them to get clean, right?
Yes. Just I love to use this analogy because I think it resonates with so many people as far as a diet. You know, we may start a diet because we want to lose weight or reduce cholesterol or anything like that. And we may struggle with staying on that diet, and we may have what's called relapses and going back to some of our old behaviors. It's the same thing with drug addiction, where people may struggle several times before kind of clicks. Like I think you mentioned the word clicks, and I love that. Before things really start to work for them. And so we need to give people all the opportunities that we can to stay safe until they're ready for treatment and ready to be sober. Certainly that's the end goal. I'd love everyone to have sobriety and recovery, but we have to get people to that point. And this is one of those many tools that we have available to keep people alive so that they can work towards their recovery.
And again, I think just in general, for our listeners who may be new to this whole topic or idea, you know, one of our jobs too is reduce the stigma that we think of drug use. And we need to get hammered home to everyone that this is a disease. It's a disease of the brain. These drugs block the receptors in the brain, and it makes the individual feel the need that they have to have this to continue in order to function. And until we can get them to the point where they can stop that, they're going to continue to use. And so, again, you know, testing a potential drug to see if it only contains what they think they're using is helping us as a task force and as a county to give them the time they need to work through this disease to get to the point where they know they can get help and are serious about their recovery.
Yep, absolutely. And if we've, you know, anybody out there has talked to somebody who is in recovery, you know, it's a journey, and it's not, you know, it might not be one time of overdosing. It may not be one time of treatment. I mean, it just depends on the individual and what they need to get sober. So I love that this is an available tool, because I really do believe that we have to get people alive long enough to get a chance at recovery. So.
And with the fentanyl, I think we've heard, I don't know that we've heard it here in the county, but we've heard of instances where even marijuana has been laced with. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, that's a little less common, but it is certainly a concern. And there has been fentanyl put into anything and everything that is not produced by the government. So, you know, we know that if you go to the pharmacy and the government is overseeing that, we know what's in our pills. We know what's in our you know, prescriptions. But if you're buying something from someone that's trying to make a buck, you have no idea what they are putting in that. And whether you're purchasing marijuana, cocaine, methamphetamines, any of those things, you know, you just don't know. If potentially fentanyl, a lethal dose could be put in your drug.
So Amy, I know the Addiction Task Force here in Wood County has purchased a supply of these fentanyl test strips. Can you perhaps share, please, with the listeners how they can, an agency or institution can get a hold of those free?
Absolutely. So our goal is to distribute these to entities that work directly with individuals that may have a current substance abuse problem. So, you know, we purchased a large supply. We currently have 5,000 of the test strips, and any agency in Wood County that feels that they could distribute these on behalf of individuals that need them, we are happy to supply them. So we even came up with a little instruction QR code that people can scan with their phones, and they can watch a video about how to use the test strips. So if someone doesn't even like to read directions, they can watch a short little video on how it works.
Wonderful. So they would get a hold of you, or?
Yep, they can contact me. You can contact me at my office, 419-352-8475. You can also email me, which is aco@wcadamh.org. And you can ask for a supply of these. I'm happy to deliver. We are not a 24/7 operation, so just keep that in mind. It wouldn't be something in the middle of the night. If it was an emergency, we wouldn't necessarily get it right away. But my goal is, like I said, to get these out to any agency that may feel they can distribute these effectively.
And my understanding, Amy, is that the Addiction Task Force is also discussing other ways of being able to make this available to the public.
Yeah, so we are looking at some different ways that we can get these out into the county and made available to everyone. So
that'll be information coming out at a later date, because we haven't made all those decisions yet, but there are other discussions in the works for where we can distribute.
Absolutely.
Or how we can do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But people can get a hold of me, like I said, a phone call or an email. Happy to drop off. You just need to give me a number that you would like to have. And I've already distributed some to the Wood County Health District. So, and like I told them when I dropped them off, when you need more, just let me know and I'll bring some more. Trying to make it as easy as I can for people.
And I know the Addiction Task Force and the Prevention Coalition has kind of tag teamed at this point for the last couple of years. We've realized that our total of all of us, we're all working kind of towards the same thing. Of course, Tina, in prevention, it's more education, but we're starting to get into harm reduction now, and that's a different topic, but still a valuable one. So I want to give credit to you as well for coming into that whole procedure of kind of one umbrella.
Yes, and thank you for doing such a great job at, you know, getting us all together as a county. So thank you, Tina. You've done a fantastic job.
I think we're all one big team, and I think just General Price, who was on a previous of CADCA, the CEO, is indicating that this is what needs to occur nationwide, that the coalitions shouldn't be separate. Addiction,
yeah.
And
too many silos.
Yes,
we
exactly.
Need to break the walls down.
They should be working hand in hand. So, do we have any final remarks or closing, anything like that?
Before we wrap up, Amy, I have a question. Let's go back to that Narcan real quick. There was training in Wood County for a while. Is there still training available?
The training for Narcan has been significantly reduced. We've just found that the requirements were a hindrance for people getting the Narcan. We didn't decide that. The state and the government decided that. So it's pretty lenient now to get the Narcan. Sometimes it's as much as just signing off that you understand how it's used or watching a very, very short video. So as far as like actually showing people how to use Narcan, they've really reduced those requirements and just made it more accessible for people. So there's not necessarily trainings per se.
So where would one go? Two questions to go along with that. Where would one go about getting training? Where would one go about getting Narcan and going about that process?
They can also contact me for that. So we have a supply of that as well at the Wood County Adams office. So I'm happy to get that out, and we can
and
order
like,
more of that as well.
So for myself, I was one of those who got trained through you.
Mm-hmm.
A long time ago.
Yeah, it's been a few years.
it's been a while. And I have been lucky enough to not have to use mine.
Yay!
For anybody who I've run across who's been in that situation. But now it's not
It may be expired.
It's expired.
Yep.
So what do I do with expired? And then also, how do I refill it?
So
because that is a prescription.
It is. There's a couple different ways that you can handle that. A lot of pharmacies, you can actually go and pick it up yourself now. Okay. They don't require an actual physical written prescription to get that. Or you can contact me and I'll be happy to bring you a new one. What I can tell you, what we've been told by Project Dawn, is that even though it's expired, it makes it less effective over time as after it expires, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it just stops working the day that it expires. So we kind of leave it up to people when they feel like they need to refill that. If it's significantly past the expiration date, we would definitely recommend that. But we wouldn't recommend like, oh, mine expired yesterday. And, you know, I would say keep a hold of it until you get a replacement for sure.
Okay. All right. Good. That'll give our listeners some guidelines too. So
yeah, absolutely.
Good deal. Okay. That's all I had. Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Amy, for being our special guest this episode. But thank you both, Kyle and Greg, for your contributions.
No problem.
Our time is drawn to a close. Next time, we'll be back with an overview of our Wood County Youth Survey 2022. And in the meantime, visit the Coalition on Facebook at WCP Coalition, Twitter, Wood CP Coalition, Instagram, WCPC Ohio, and online at www.wcprevention.org. Thanks, everyone.
This podcast is intended for educational purposes only. Those views expressed on the podcast do not necessarily reflect the views of the Wood County Educational Service Center or the Wood County Prevention Coalition.